This is not usually how I'm dressed on Sundays. I know we're a very casual church, but we're not this casual. But you know, I'm ready to unzip this thing and go play volleyball and smash 25 and younger, just like we did a couple of Sundays ago. So that's what we're gonna do. But give me about 10 minutes, and then we will just all go out. And man, God bless this weather, right? Yesterday was a 95-degree scorcher, and now it's 75 degrees. It's like God turned on the switch to the AC, right, this morning. So it's awesome. Perfect weather for, you know, outdoor picnic type of thing today. So we're going to do that. So here's what I'm going to do. A couple weeks ago, I had a chance to impromptu present the gospel to somebody that I didn't think really knew Christ. I was doing a marriage counseling, premarital counseling with this couple, and one was Catholic and the other one hasn't really been to church in a very long time. And I presented the gospel, which took about 5 minutes. And then after that, I asked them, so these people grew up in church. Okay, one, you know, grew up as a Catholic, and the other one grew up in a church just like this all her life. And I asked them, both of them at the end, so did you understand that that's what God has done for you? Have you ever heard something like that? And both of them said, no, we have never heard anything like that. You know, they have assumed something about the Christian message, and they had gotten it wrong their whole lives. And so, even though we have been going to church all our lives, we may not have the message quite right. And so, I want to present it to you. And it's not so that you may only receive, but so that you may also give. Because if I asked you, you know what, this person does not know Christ, why don't you present the gospel to this person so that he knows how to become a Christian? What would you say to that person? Where would you start? Right? And so this is also for you to, okay, I can start there, that's where I can go, and this is the most important thing, and this is how I end. Okay, so that's what I want you to take away from this short, brief, maybe 5 to 7, 10 minutes at most message. Okay? So let's pray, and then we'll do that. Father, we thank you so much again for this beautiful day that you have created. You have given us one more day, even though this day is not even guaranteed. But knowing that you are in control, you're in control of our heartbeats right now. Every breath that we take, we can take because you allow it. And I pray that if you are willing to sustain me for the next 5 to 7 minutes, Lord, that I want to give this message to our beautiful people, that they may give it out to all the people that you have died for. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So it goes like this, and it's in your bulletin outline. The outline that I have in my head is, so that's not it. God, first. Man, second. Christ, third. Response. Okay? So God, first. What's second? Man. Third is Christ. And then fourth is response. That's the broad outline that I have. And there are so many different ways to do this, and I just made up my own. So here it goes. God. God created. But have you ever thought about why God created the world? Or more specifically, why God created human beings? Some people think God created human beings because he was lonely. There was one God and nobody else in the big wide universe, and so he decided to make little human beings so that he can play with them and he can worship, you know, they can worship him, and so he won't feel so lonely. But that's not why God created. And God did not create so that we can serve him like little slaves, right? Do this, do that, you know, run the earth or run, you know, whatever other planets I need servants. And that's why God created. Well, that's not why God created either. God always had the Trinity, right? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Three of them were always together from the beginning, where there was no beginning, really, because they're infinite, right? And so they had God the Father, had God the Son, and the Holy Spirit to love one another. So he wasn't lonely. He always had eternal companion with himself. So it wasn't because he was lonely that he created, and it wasn't because he needed servants that he created us. He had angels to serve him. And all he had to do was say the word and it would be done. So why does he need servants like little humans, right? But then why did God create the world? And specifically us? Well, he created not out of need, not because he needed us, but it really was out of the love and joy that he shared in the Trinity. I told you that our God, triunity, three, right? But one God, three persons in one God, they share this joy and this fellowship with one another. And as they were sharing, the natural outcome of that love and enjoyment that they had with one another was this world and was the human species. So the illustration is like this. I can liken it to a conjugal relationship between a man and his wife. Man falls in love with a woman, and then they court, and they finally marry one another in the olden days, and then as they love one another spiritually, emotionally, and physically, what is the outcome? The outcome is the children, right? Children that bear the image of their parents. That's the natural outcome. We do not bear children so that they can serve us. We do not bear children because we're lonely and we want them to keep us company, right? But that's an outcome, natural result of what we love. A love relationship. That's the natural result. And just like that, there was that love relationship. It's not sexual at all, right? God don't think in that term. But God, in that infinite, magnificent joy and love that they shared with one another, and out came this world. Out came human beings that bear his image. Another example that I can give you is that of an artist. And some of you guys are artists. And what do artists do when they see a beautiful mountain and the creek running by and the animals playing so idly, right? What do you want to do? You want to paint, or you want to sculpt. You want to make something out of it. That's what you do naturally. You create, or rather you recreate, right? You have what is there, wood or brush or whatever, and then you try to recreate what you see, the beauty that you see out there. And that's exactly what God is as a creator. That he is this being, magnificent being, and they loved and had that wonderful relationship and beauty that they shared. And how came creation? I want to create. Well, I want to make something out of this. And that is this world, and that is the human beings. And so we human beings were created to have that kind of enjoyment, love, happiness forever with this God. The creative, fun, joyful God. But as you know, right, and this is a man part now, as you know, that's not what we are experiencing. We experience some of that. Every time we experience, we can see a glimpse of it, but a lot of times we don't. Things don't end very well, right? The reason is because men, we were created in the image of God, unlike animals, and that means that we could determine for ourselves what is good and what is evil. And we were given that kind of decision-making power by God, really, so that we either had the power to obey him and submit to him and enjoy him, or we could make ourselves a center of the universe and go our own way, thinking that our way might be better than what God had in store for us. And so God gave us that choice, that tree, if you remember. And what did man decide to do? That we decided that it is better, that I know better than God, my way is better than God's way, and I can make myself happier than God can make me happy, and that's what we decided to do. So we became self-determinant. And we determined for ourselves what is good, what is evil for ourselves. And the result of that, the Bible says, is sin, and is separation from this wonderful, joyful, loving God. And came with it is the deterioration of the world and deterioration of the body, mind, soul of the human beings. Just like, I don't know if you've ever seen pictures of a beautiful young person, right, and became a heroin addict. In about 5-10 years of time, how that person ages so much more than a regular person. A person who's 30 years old, you know, looks 50 because of that drug just infesting the body of that young person. And that's exactly what happened to this world, because we have decided that we are going to call the shots and not God. And it became deteriorated, and we see the result of it in wars and hatred and all the things that we don't desire in this world. And we are to stay in that stage, and it's only going to get worse as time goes on, because of that self-determining factor in our hearts. However, this is where Christ comes in. However, God still loves us. He created us in His image, and He cannot bear to see His children or potential children go down that way, eternally separated from God, going into that place of eternal torment called hell. And so God decided that He's going to do something because you and I cannot do anything about this. What is the problem of sin? What was our issue in the very beginning? Our issue was that we could do better than God. And so if we ever said, I am going to pull myself up by the strap of my boots and go to God on my own, well, that is the very definition of sin. And that's why we Christians say that you cannot save yourself. You cannot make yourself good. You cannot be good and do good enough so that God will look at you and go, oh, you've been good. You've done well. Well, come into my kingdom. No, because you'll be saving yourself. And that is the reason why we fell in the first place. We became self-determining, self-centered. It was something that somebody else had to do for us. Only an infinite God could save us sinners who have caused this infinite offense toward God. And what was God's remedy? Jesus. Right? God the Father, God the Son. God the Son became a man. We call Him Jesus. He was the only eternal being who was sinless. And He came and He decided to rescue us from our sins so that we do not become separated from God forever. And how would He do this? How would He do this? By teaching us to be good and do good? Right? By teaching us to try harder? By telling you to go to church? Tithe, even? Oh, if you give 20%, you're definitely in the kingdom. Right? Is that what it was? No. He died in our place. We should have died. We should have been cut off eternally from God. Right? But Jesus came, eternal God, eternal being. He decided that He's going to take the punishment that you and I deserved. That we call the cross. He died. He became separated from God the Father. My God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus cried out to His own Father, God, whom He had been with from the beginning. He's been cut off, which is exactly what we deserve. And He died. But what happened 3 days later? Jesus resurrected. He came back from the dead. Okay? That means death has no stronghold. That means sin has been taken care of. Because He died. Our sins had been crucified with Him on the cross. And He died. Our sins died. And when He came back, we can come back. We have that hope as Christians that we will be resurrected, that we have eternal life. And now that bridge has been laid between God and us through Christ. That's what God through Christ has done for us. The last one, is that it then? No, there has to be a response. There is something for us to do, and that is not to be good and do good, but to, what do you do when somebody gives you a gift, an awesome, a priceless gift? What is the only way that that gift becomes yours? You receive it, right? You receive it. If I sacrifice my daughters to save you from a flood, let's say, right? Now, what would the proper response for you to me, a dad who just lost two girls, to save your life? Your proper response would be, thank you. Thank you. Now I want to live the rest of my life worthy of your daughter's lives, right? Wrong response is, you know, thank you for that. Let me pay you for it. How much should I give you? $2,000? You think that will be enough? $3,000 for your daughter's lives? No. And yet, that's what so many Christians try to do. When God has saved us, sacrificing His only begotten Son for us, and we go, you know what, let me go to church now and be good so that you will accept me. Let me give tithing to you. Let me pay for what you have done for me. No. The only proper response for you to do is, I can't believe you did it. Why would you do that? Why would you die in my place and give me the credit for being righteous? That you became sin. You became sin so that I might be righteous before God, as 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, why would you do that? I will accept. I will receive so gratefully, thankfully, even though I don't deserve. And how do we receive? Two sides of the coin, same thing. Repent and believe. Repent and believe. Repent simply means to turn away from yourself. Remember, that was a problem in the first place. You turn to yourself, self-determining. But you turn away from self-determination, self-centered. I'll do it for my happiness, my glory, my honor. Nobody else. Looking out for number one. From that to, you know what? No. This God saved me from that. I cannot go back to that. I'm going to turn from myself, and I'm going to turn toward God. That's what it means to believe. Trust. Lean on. To treasure Him above all things. Let Him become the source of your happiness and joy and self-worth, self-esteem, right? It's really not self-esteem. It's God-esteem. You have self-worth because of what God has done for you and not because you're thinner, you're younger, or you have more hair, or what have you. It's what Christ has done for you. You have infinite worth because the infinite Son of God has taken your place and given you the credit that He deserved, living the perfect life that you and I always wanted to live. And you simply receive it, and it becomes yours. It becomes mine. You are perfect in the eyes of God. Not because you have lived a perfect life. I have not lived a perfect at all. But He sees Christ in you. I see my Son in you. You're perfect in my eyes. You lived a perfect life. Sinless. Because you have received the greatest gift that I have ever given to anybody. And that is my Son. Repent and believe. So this morning I want to ask you, have you received this unspeakable, priceless gift of God in His Son, Jesus Christ? If you have, if I asked you, why don't you share that with somebody that you know? Those four things: God, man, how we felt, why God created, right? Man, why we fell, and how Christ redeemed us, and then what we need to do as a response. Would you be able to do it? Very simple outline is in the bulletin. Try to practice it. And then share the gospel. Simple message, but the most powerful message that the world has ever, ever seen. Let's pray. First of all, is there anybody in here? You know what? I've been going to church many years, but I haven't really quite heard that. That it's not what I have done. It's not what I do, but it's what Christ has done for me. It's not what I do, but it's what Christ has done for me. So done versus do. I realize that Christ substituted for me, and it's not my good effort. It's not my being good and doing good that will save me, that will get me accepted, but it's solely based upon what Christ has done for me and my repenting and believing it. I realize that really now for the first time, and I want to receive, I want to believe, I want to repent and believe. Is there anybody like that in here with your eyes closed? Just raise up, slip up your hand so that I may see and God may see. Nobody else will know, right? Anybody in here? I want to receive this Christ. Why would not? And in thanksgiving, I want to live the rest of my life giving thanks to Him, worthy, fitting to the gospel that I've just heard. Yeah, I see some hands. Praise God. Anybody else? Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, how beautiful the gospel message really is that you have substituted for us. Lord, I feel cruddy. I felt cruddy this morning, to be honest, when things were missing and we had to go grab stuff because we promised there would be a brief service and really ended up being more work. And I was being a Martha in that way, just running around everywhere. But once again, realizing none of that really matters. It's what you have done for me. It's a credit that you have
given for me, even though I didn't deserve it, and I can rest in that. I can rest in you. That's where my worth comes from. That's where our worth comes from, your Son, who sacrificed for us. Thank you so much for the commitment, Lord. And thank you so much that that I trust that these people will go out and share that simple gospel message with their friends, neighbors, co-workers, Lord, our spouse even. You are an awesome God. Love you. Love you, Lord. And we want our church as one to fall in love with you over and over and over by the gospel message, Lord, that will come to us fresh in every single areas of our lives. Let it be about you, Lord. Thank you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.